Buen día. You are muted.
Okay, Martin. Good morning.
Are you alive?
Yes. It was not easy.
I can imagine. I can imagine.
No, because for me, it was impossible to breathe, you know.
Yes.
It was awful. The other Monday, I need to go to the hospital to receive the oxygen because at home it was impossible to breathe. But okay, and a lot of fevers, of course. But we needed to see the good side of the things. I believe that now I am full vaccinated for the next 6 months.
Okay. You're lucky. Lucky you.
We need to see always the good side of the things. Otherwise, we became crazy. What about you?
I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm up and running. I had to take it easy because after my surgical operation, I was so tired, you know. And but now I think I'm fully recovered, so ready to go. I'm looking forward to the summer.
I'm waiting that the same. Because I became tired now. I came from my office here, so 50 meters, and I came tired, you know.
Yeah, you are out of breath. You're breathless, and
That's okay.
yes.
We are alive. This is the most important.
Yeah, and thank God we have the medical facilities, because there are some people who would die very easily because of the
Yes.
facilities. I know back home in my own country in Cameroon, people were dying because of lack of oxygen. They couldn't breathe, but was no oxygen, and so
We are lucky in the
we can thank God for that.
Thank you, Martin, for your time.
Please.
It's
Yeah.
just to make a point of order
Yeah.
in some issues.
Yes.
Because the next 2 weeks I will travel, and after it we will have our executive committee, and we can talk a little bit about IPU. Because I will be at the Forum of Young Parliamentarians in Egypt, in Riyadh also, and in Istanbul for the migration conference organized by the Turkish authorities. Then I will go to New York to the meeting. That was the postponed. From this week, from yesterday to the other one, and I don't know if you will be there as well.
Yes, on the 21st of
21st, yes, 21st. I am here with Arthur. I'm looking to Arthur because he knows better my life than me.
Yes, correct. No, I will be in New York because I have other meetings. I have asked. We usually have a working level meeting with some senior officials of the UN to review our various program activities, and I have asked that that meeting take place while I am in New York, so that my colleagues will join from Geneva, but I will be in New York with the New York team. Yes, so I will be there. I will be there for as long as it takes.
Okay, any special issues that we should try to rise or to solve in this moment at New York?
I think that things are going well. The General Assembly is going to be adopting that resolution, and now that we have a little bit of time, maybe we can continue to mobilize parliaments to push their permanent representatives in New York to sponsor the resolution. We would like as many members as possible to sponsor the resolution. It has already been cleared now, and it went through what they call the silence procedure. So it can be considered as something that will be tabled as such to the General Assembly. We just need for many representatives to put that on their to offer to sponsor. So if you are talking to any members, including Saudi Arabia, that you're going to see Egypt and all of that, Turkey, let them instruct the ambassadors in New York to support the resolution, to support the resolution. So that is that. I think that's the main thing. And you had asked to see the incoming president of the General Assembly.
Who is he? Or she?
He's from Hungary. Hungary. Yes. I think he is the ambassador of Hungary to the UN, but I can't confirm that he has been appointed. So again, we need to see whether Mr. Gutierrez will be in town and available to welcome us, as you had requested, and I think my colleagues in New York are working on that. If there are meetings that are able to be confirmed for Washington, maybe we'll have to go to Washington for a couple of days to have those meetings on Capitol Hill with members of Congress to continue to drum up support for the IPU. So that is basically what I think we have on our plate. I will need to check with Paddy again. Mm-hmm. Yes,
but the mission to Washington is not there on that time. It's later on.
No, if Paddy is able to get meetings of the with Congress people during that period, and depending on whether or not you are available, at least I am available. We could go to Washington for a day or so, one or couple of days. Yes. You are not coming back to Europe before going to Uruguay, right?
Yes, I will stop in Colombia and then Uruguay. I'm thinking because in one meeting, where in Argentina, maybe in Argentina, they told me that. For our interest and for our business, we should try to have meetings with special think tanks, Republican think tanks.
Yes, that's correct.
Because they are they have a lot of influence in the party, and it was one advice. I don't remember if it was from the speaker, maybe it was from the speaker. He said clearly, he said, of course, he said to me, we support the U.S. can join, if the U.S. try to join IPU and so on. But if you need to talk with Republicans, maybe it will be more effective not to have meetings with senators or members of the House, but directly to one or two think tanks that can influence all of them. And this way you can be more effective. But I don't remember the name of the think tanks. I don't know if Paddy has
Paddy knows all of them. I will talk to Paddy.
If you have the same opinion, of course.
No, I think it's important to reach out to anybody who can help us. So the think tanks, those are the people who tend to fashion the thinking of the Republicans, you know. And so if they understand more about the IPO, it would help. But some of them are just, I think, crazy. You know, they don't want to hear about the IPO. You know, people like Freedom House and, you know.
We may say that we will defend the weapons given to everyone, and so they will accept to meet us.
Okay, I will talk to Paddy. Just for you to know, I spoke with the Sri Lankan ambassador in Washington. He is a good friend of mine, and he used to be very involved in the IPU, former minister in Sri Lanka, and he wanted me to help support the parliament in terms of oversight, provide technical cooperation. But I also mentioned to him that since he was in Washington, maybe he would have contacts who could help us, support the IPU. He explained to me that Sri Lanka has parliamentary caucus on Congress in Congress, and he was going to talk to them, to those people, to educate them on the IPU and would provide some sort of support in terms of fostering contacts with them. So he is going to come back to me soon on that.
Okay, Martin. And the Portuguese ambassador in Washington is the former ambassador in UN.
Oh, really? The one we had in this? Yes, okay.
We have lunch with him.
Yes.
And so... Now he moved to Washington, so we know quite well the IPU, and
very
I believe he may try to help us also.
Yes, okay. So we'll try to put together that. And we have also our good friend Margaret Mensah. You know Margaret Mensah?
Yeah.
The Namibian lady who was on the executive.
Yes, Margaret.
Yeah, Margaret. You know, she's the ambassador of Namibia. Yes, so we can see how we if we are going to Washington, how we can have a meeting of these ambassadors who are friendly to the IPU,
or a breakfast or something.
Yes,
with,
a breakfast.
With them.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. If all members of IPU became ambassadors in Washington, it may help us.
It might help us. Yes. That's correct. Yes, it would be good.
And after it, the executive committee.
Yes.
I saw the agenda. I don't think there will be no problem. It will be a peaceful meeting. The question of the task force of Ukraine can be raised and have a discussion on that, but the other issues are clear, peaceful.
Yeah, I think so. We don't anticipate any major problems with the items on the agenda, and it's a one-day meeting, so. We can always plead that there's not enough time, and so gives us time to review our own strategy and see how we handle any problematic issue. But I don't think there will be any particular problem.
Okay. About Latin America, two more things. One that was also raised by the Argentina. It was something strange for me, but I think that is a problem of communication. between our office and the parliament. Mm-hmm. Because the Speaker of the House said to me that he didn't receive invitation to our meetings for a long time.
Oh, really?
Yes. And when he said that, it was a surprise for me. And I said, Mr. Speaker, there is a problem of communication. I do not understand.
Yeah.
Now, you are just inviting the Senate. And you never invite the House. And I said, this is not our rules. When we have a bicameral system, we share the positions, usually half-half. For instance, to Indonesia, we have a delegation of 5 members, but if you have a bilateral system, we increase the number to 6, because this way it was possible to have 3 from one house and 3 from the other one.
Yes.
I will try to understand that there is a problem of communication. That's all I may understand, because this is not our rules. But I said to him, but please, you should to contact us also as soon as you identify the problem. You don't need to have a meeting with me here to raise the problem, if you understand. Or if you understood before that for Indonesia and from Spain that you didn't receive the invitation, your office should call Geneva and ask what is the problem. You don't need to wait for that. But if it's possible to understand what is the point.
No, I'm going to check after this meeting. It could be that we're using contact details that are no longer current, and they have not drawn our attention to that. So, but I'll check with my colleagues, because you are right. When we send out invitations, even for specialized meetings, we send to both houses where you have a bicameral system. Systematic, you know, we don't choose for them which house to deal with. Both houses are entitled to attend. So I will check. I will check with my colleagues and see where the problem is, and we will fix that as soon as possible.
Okay, Martin. The other is the meeting with the Caribbean.
Yes.
I call also Senator Blano. From Paraguay and the chair of the GRULAC.
Yes.
And Arthur was in touch with the vice president of the GRULAC that has a special contacts. She is from Mexico, I believe. Yes.
Yes.
And she has special contacts with the Caribbean and so on. Try to organize that near the end of August, before we came back to a real work, because otherwise it will be more difficult. I understood from the contact of the Dr. Arthur with the advice, what is his name? Sofia Carvajal. That all them, they prefer to have the still the meeting in Panama because of logistic, because there is no direct flights from each country to Guyana or to other country, but they have direct flights, all them, to Panama. Because for me, as you can believe me, it's the same. To have the meeting in Panama or in Guyana or in other place, it is the same. It's just to try to identify the best place to avoid excuses not to be present. And from Beatrice? No, the Sofia. From Sofia, Dr. Arthur understood that she did a round between all them, and they prefer to have the meeting in Panama. Of course, we didn't fix the date because the facilities of flights to the country, and also because the headquarters of Parliament, Latin American Parliament, is there, and so they can offer the logistic support to organize the meeting if we keep this in our program. I don't know if you agree, and if the end of August is good for you.
Just yesterday, Amber was in touch with the Guyana. You remember we had agreed that we would do the meeting in Guyana, and Guyana had accepted, and that they were going to work in coordination with Trinidad and Tobago, that had already organized the first meeting of the Caribbean countries. Yesterday she said that she had been in touch with them to follow up on those discussions and see when to organize the meeting. I think that for political considerations, it might be problematic to do a Caribbean meeting in Panama, which people see as Latin American country as such, and not a Caribbean country. We had already identified some bottlenecks. We don't have very strong relations with the Palatino. We did in the past have meetings with them, but now parliament is no longer very strong as it was before. So we thought that it might be difficult to rely on them for logistics, not to talk of the Panama parliament itself. And as I say again, for purposes of perception, it would be good to maintain Guyana, if only because the speaker has agreed to host that meeting and is willing to mobilize his colleagues of the Caribbean region. And as you may know, the headquarters of CARICOM is in Guyana, in Georgetown, and we could get support from them to mobilize. So I think that we have to be, if I could say that, be careful that this meeting is not seen as one that is being driven by the Spanish-speaking members of GRULAC, whereas we are trying to mobilize the English-speaking members of the Caribbean to join the IPU. So I think that the offer by Blas and the Sofia to help is welcome, is very welcome. But for me, it would be not very productive if we were to have that meeting in Panama.
Okay, so in Guyana.
Exception.
But yes. If it's possible in the end of August,
okay,
it will be wonderful, because otherwise I am trying to see, because in beginning of October we will have the P20 in Jakarta and our assembly. And
yes.
So, and before that we should have ExCom meetings, virtual and so on. It's awful.
Yes.
And
yes.
In September, it will be on the 15th, the meeting, 15 in Cairo, about the 25 years of the Democracy Day. It's still there, or they change?
I haven't spoken with them of late. I will check.
Because it is on 15, and before that, a meeting of the women's speakers of the Forum of Women in Uzbekistan.
Yes.
And so on. That's why September is still beginning with a lot of meetings as well.
Okay. I will talk. I will get Anda to consult with the Guyanese because they were proposing that we do that meeting after Kigali. But let me talk to her again and see what it is that we can do very quickly if it's possible.
Okay.
Yes.
Because if it's on 29 of August or something similar, before begin the month of September, it will be great.
Okay. Let me check with Anda again to consult with the Guyanese on that.
Okay.
So yes. That is fine for the Cairo meeting. I had explained to them that it would be good for them. It's symbolic to have that day celebrated in Cairo. I need to go back to them. But they are hosting the young parliamentarians meeting now, and in November they are hosting the COP7. So with a parliamentary event in Sharm el Sheikh. So I will see, let me talk to them and see whether they still have this on their radar screen.
Just one question, because I need to understand what I should answer. I believe that the speaker in Egypt will ask me again, because in all our meetings we talk about it, the office of IPU in Cairo.
Yes.
And I understood that there is no written compromise. Mm-hmm. It can result from a meeting or something like that. But there is no protocol, no memorandum creating this office.
That's correct.
So this is the official answer.
Yes.
If they insist to create, we have a problem of place and costs of employees.
Yeah.
And this is not in our budget as well.
We don't have any, I would say, experience of having such a type of office, which would be a regional office. It's not only for Cairo; it is for the Arab region, you know. And so we would need to discuss the details of that with them, you know. And we could come to compromise, and we say maybe during the first 5 years of the center, the Egyptian parliament would bear the costs, and then we'll see how gradually we include this in the various budgets of the year, gradually. When I became Secretary General, I had that idea, the vision of opening regional hubs of the organization in different regions in Grula. And Uruguay had even offered to host the regional hub. They were going to provide the premises, but I did not have the resources to pay for the staff who would be working there. It's a lot of money because there will be international. Yeah, so anything is possible, provided that they cover the costs. We are having an office in Vienna, and the Austrian Parliament is paying for the costs, all the costs now. Ultimately, we would have to integrate that within the budget of the organization. But we have to do this in an incremental fashion so that we don't get up one night and see that the budget of the organization has exploded. So we are flexible. If they ask you the question, we will discuss at the technical level what it is, what the implications are, and we will see whether we can possibly open that office, what would be its terms of reference, what other institutions exist in the region of a similar nature, so that we don't just create something that would be an empty shell.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, yeah.
I will talk about this way with them, and I try to avoid to assume a real compromise, because yes. otherwise they can ask for it for in the future.
And yes.
we should try to avoid that.
That's correct. And another thing that they may ask you is the human rights.
Yes.
Yeah, they'd rather not talk about it, but, you know, you never know. They might raise it. We just have this issue of this parliamentarian who disappeared. We are following up on that, and they are becoming very cooperative. Before, they didn't want to hear about it, and they're being cooperative. I will ask that you be given the latest decision of the Committee on Human Rights of Parliamentarians. It is a decision that was adopted together with the Egyptians. You know, it was a compromise decision so that the Egyptians would continue to be cooperative and not lose faith in the IPU. So I will ask that decision be sent to you in case they raise it. If they don't raise it, don't raise it.
Of course not. But yes. if it's possible to receive the decision
yes.
of the committee,
yes.
the right of parliamentarians, it will be great.
Yes. Okay. We will send that to you.
And Martin, about Africa,
also, yes.
We are discussing to organize in July a meeting of the delegations of the Portuguese-speaking countries to the IPU
mm-hmm.
To discuss sustainable development, I think, climate change and sustainable development and so on. And so this is a meeting. It was proposed in Bali when the delegations... we have a meeting always of the Portuguese-speaking countries' delegations. And in Bali, because I was just in the beginning of the meeting and I didn't assist the meeting, but they decided that they should try to meet not just during the assemblies, but also between assemblies. And the first one in this way will happen in Cabo Verde. Hmm? But there is no cost to the IPU because the Parliament of Cabo Verde will support the facilities. Each delegation will support their own costs of traveling, of course, and there is no need of interpretation. And so,
except if the Secretary General goes.
Of course. You understand quite well the Portuguese. You understand quite well the Portuguese. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they will, I believe, that they will ask for some help to organize the panelists and so on to understand who will attend the meeting with this role. I believe that the president of Cabo Verde will be in the beginning of the meeting himself, and so on. It's a 2 days, just 2 day meeting.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't have anything more than that. Do you have, Arthur? You can.
Good afternoon, Mr. Secretary General.
Yes. Hi, Arthur.
Hello. Yes, we have received the invitation to the Speaker of our Parliament, and they will be sending. They have sent invitations to the Speaker of our Parliament and to the speakers of the other Portuguese-speaking countries. And they will be sending an invitation to the delegations, to the IPU delegations. And I have shared this with the executive office of the IPU.
Oh, okay.
And asked if someone from the secretariat would be joining for the meeting in Cape Verde. And
Are you available to join, Martin?
It's on the 18th and 19th of July.
Exactly.
Yes, I think as I mentioned this morning, I am committed on those dates. But if I can change my plans, it would be a pleasure to go to Cabo Verde again, because I've been there before. But I will have to check that. But I just wanted to be sure that what was expected of the IPU, and I did mention this morning to Sharon that. Yes, my understanding was that it would be extra budgetary funding. And of course, if it's on climate change, it is something that is consistent with our strategy.
Yes.
It's good to build those constituencies within the IPU to forge their own identity, over and above the geopolitical groups. We have the small island developing states too, which are, forging their own identity within the IPU. So, from that point of view, I think it's good. We just want to make sure that as many people as possible can come, given the short notice, because it's in 1.5 months, almost 1.5 months. And it would be good to know how far they have gone with communications about that. Of course, we can always help with identifying panelists, provided that they pay. If they pay, we can help them identify panelists and help them draw up the agenda. And
they never organize a meeting of IPU. They are very committed,
yeah, okay,
and very happy to receive one meeting of IPU.
Okay.
And just between ourselves, from the Portuguese colonies in Africa, is the most democratic one. Because the other ones, we have a lot of problems. In Cabo Verde, the democracy is going well with different parties ruling the country. They change from one party to the opposition. I believe that it will be very important also, not just for them, but to share this kind of experience to the others, because it's important to that the others that don't have a so strong democracy to see that it's possible a real democracy in Africa as well, with respect to the opposition rights, independence of the courts, free of press, and so on. And I became very happy when they said that they are available. If it is in other country, in São Tomé or in Angola, it is not the same. But in Cabo Verde, it's a real democracy.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. I agree with you, Duarte. I'm pleased to hear this, because I was very much involved in strengthening the parliament in Cabo Verde when I was in a different position in the IPU. I traveled there a couple of times. We had a big program of support to the parliament with UNDP. So I know that parliament very well. And I am amazed that you have two countries that have virtually the same background, Guinea-Bissau and Cabo Verde, one doing very well and the other one struggling when it comes to democracy. So we need to showcase these good practices by countries that may not be big and are there on the world landscape, but they're there doing well, lost in the Atlantic Ocean. But I think that I would agree that they're doing very well indeed. So I would say we'll do our best given the limited time to help if we can. I say yes, but my colleagues are the people who do all the work, so I will have to check with them what type of support they can provide.
Okay, Martin, thank you.
Yes.
And now, Ukraine. There is any news from the task force?
Okay, Ukraine, I think we are finished with Cabo Verde. Ukraine, yes, the task force met, when was it? On the 25th of, I don't remember, well, recently. And they had a meeting, they had that meeting, and at the end of the meeting, they agreed that since we have now the concurrence of both houses of parliament, with both parliaments, to engage with the task force, they would like to visit the two countries. And they asked me to make the necessary arrangements with the two countries to welcome an IPU mission, task force mission, which I have done. I have been in touch with the Ukrainian parliament and the Russian Council of the Federation, Mr. Kosachev, who is our focal point there. And I await their feedback. We have proposed that that mission take place from the 10th to the 16th of July to give enough time to prepare. You know, the logistics are going to be hell, because I think they have to go to Poland and then from Poland go to Kiev by train, and no, it's very complicated. Awful. Yeah, so that one is ongoing. They did not want to entertain the proposals that were made by the Speaker of Ukraine. You saw in his letter, he said that the terms of reference of the task force should be amended, and they felt that this. Terms of reference have been crafted in conformity with the mandate that was given to the task forces in Nusa Dua, and they did not want any side to dictate to the task force how it should operate. Nevertheless, they have taken note of the concerns that were raised by the Ukrainian speaker in his message, and I'm sure they'll factor this into the way they deliberate, you know, but they are not going to amend the terms of reference. I think that is where they are. And then there was the issue, they had understood that you were going to travel to Ukraine. And they did say that maybe you should defer that mission until such time as the task force had done its work, in order not to be seen, IPU is seen to be having two separate tracks for the its contribution to the resolution of the crisis. So that is basically what they discussed. I have now gone to them to propose to them that that mission take place from the 10th to the 16th of July, assuming that the two countries will welcome the timing, you know, so that we can have something to report to you and to the executive committee prior to meeting in Kigali.
No, it's very important. We hope that in Kigali the conflict is over.
We hope so. We hope so. You may know. Yeah. You may. Okay. You know. Go ahead before I say what I want to say.
Just one more point is about the communication.
No, just before I finish, okay, let me finish Ukraine.
Yes.
Just so you know, Mrs. Matvienko and Mr. Kosachev have been just been to Zimbabwe on a big mission that has been publicized, and many agreements have been signed between the two countries and between the two parliaments to support Zimbabwe in the area of trade, addressing the food crisis and all of that. Just because there's a prominent member of the executive committee who is from Zimbabwe. And if he acts in a certain way, you'll understand that national interests are at stake. So I just thought you should know.
No, it's true. It's it is not a mistake. Zimbabwe, because of the role of Speaker Mudenda in IPU, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, mama. Zimbabwe.
Yes, yes.
Now, about communication.
Yes.
What I tried to... It was... what I wrote to you, it is very easy. It happened because, Martin, I really think we should understand what to implement the strategy, of course, and mm-hmm. understand what we may do in a different way. Because
yes.
Otherwise, the situation will be the same. If I yeah. go to the IPU, for instance, in Instagram.
Yeah,
I saw a lot of publications
mm-hmm.
with 2 likes, 8, 3, 4, 8, 7, 4, 5, 6, 8, 4, 7, 4, 8, 8, 4, 6, and so on. It's children with 10 years old has more likes and more visualizations than IPU.
Yeah.
It's a lot of publications, but the results are awful.
Mm-hmm.
And so the recognition of our efforts are not in accordance with the investment and with the relevance of IPU. And that's why I sent the message to you, because I was at home and I had time to see that, and I said we needed to change, otherwise
okay.
It seems that we are in a gym, you know, running in our I don't know the name of the machine, running in a machine, because we're still on the same place.
Yes, yes.
We
yes.
are spending a lot of energy, but we are not going to anywhere. With I don't know the name of that machine in English. And because we are spending a lot of energy, a lot of publication with good image, good pictures, with very important message, but they are not achieving the people. Neither the MPs and neither other people outside the parliament.
Okay.
And so, you understood when you said that we will have a report about the implementation in our executive committee in Uruguay.
Yeah.
But sometimes we are tired of reports. We need to see real results. And if
yes.
I read this in our executive committee, I will destroy any report of Thomas. Because I will show, yes, you have presented a very nice presentation, 4 likes, 3 likes, 2 likes, 7 likes. It means that you work a lot, but you are not achieving anyone. We are not here to work a lot and to receive a salary. We are here to understand what we should do to get the people with information about IPU, about the relevance of IPU, the positions of IPU, the work we do to defend human rights, democracy, the sustainable development goals, the role of parliaments to achieve it, the role of parliamentarians, and so on. And we are not 2 months after Bali. We are on the same stage as we were before. And that's why I'm talking frankly to you, because I think we should to understand what we should do different to have more results.
Okay. Thank you, Duarte. I didn't understand, so that's why I asked the question.
Yeah.
What referring to? Then now you have explained that to me. I do understand. It's true that we have this chronic disease. I would say it's a chronic disease that we are not able to achieve the visibility that we are entitled to. And I think that point was made that way back in 1949, they were already raising this issue of visibility for the IPU. And so it is something that we need to take very seriously. I do remember your discussion with me that we could look at the possibility of outsourcing some of our services to a specialized company that can help us raise our visibility and reach the audience that we are targeting. I did convey this to Thomas, and he and his colleagues are looking into that proposal, and I hope that it is one of the modalities that we can review, if not in the short term, at least in the medium term, and see how it is that we can work more robustly with specialized agencies that can help us give more visibility to the organization. So that is something on the card. But it's good that you are frank. I think that it is necessary for us to be able to have this type of frank conversation and see how we can be more robust in addressing the challenges that we are facing in terms of visibility. So I'll go back to Thomas and raise this with him. And maybe before we get to Uruguay, he has already thought of how he could respond to this concern, and maybe he could be telling us that he has a tweaked strategy for achieving what we all want, more recognition of the IPU and the work that we're doing, you know, because, as you say, we're doing very substantive and very useful work.
But if we don't do anything, I am not so worried. But
yes.
As we do a lot of things,
yeah.
I became very angry because I said, we don't rest. We do a lot of investments. We try to help parliaments. We have resolutions, and mm-hmm. after it, why we failed to transmit it to the world, to outside our own.
Okay, I will have that discussion with him, and we will see what it is that we can reasonably do. But I think that idea of, the outsourcing some of our communications to specialized bodies might help. I don't know. I'm not a specialist in this area. So
I am not also.
Yeah. So I will talk to him. Thank you for bringing that to my attention.
And finally, from my issues, I don't know if you have another ones that you should, that we
yes.
wish to. Grammy Passy Award.
Yes.
I have the list of the people to call them.
Yes.
But we should try to fix the meeting or other procedure to... otherwise we will fail also.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think that the first thing we should do now is to call them. You should.
I will call today and
explain,
tomorrow.
Yeah, and to really express the need for them and urgency for them to be interested in this. We want to. If they are not interested, we are not going to drag them into it. And I think, frankly, I think it has to do also with the fact that we have very few. We have very few nominees. On the table, and and they may not see anyone emerging as a strong candidate. But it's important for them to meet and take that decision, you know. So on our side, we are flexible. Whenever you and they think that they can have the next meeting, we will do our best to organize the meeting.
Next Friday, for instance?
This Friday?
Yeah. It's too short.
I think it's too short now. Too short. Sometime next week, you know. You can participate from any part of the world.
Yes, of course. Yes. No, I can be.
Yeah, let's think of next week. And
16 maybe.
16th of June, I am traveling. But, I'm traveling on this.
17,
okay. Okay.
17. What is the hour the Gabriela asked?
4 o'clock. 4 o'clock.
For
time.
You. For, yes. 3 p.m. Portuguese, 3 Portuguese time.
Yeah.
Okay. On 17th. But
okay.
I have to please with Teresa to call all them this afternoon and tomorrow, by morning or by afternoon. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. We just have to. I don't know who you what you think of the nominees. It is, we are not voting here. We're not voting, but I don't know what you think of them.
There is. I am a little bit afraid because political is impossible to support the position of the 12 plus.
Mm-hmm.
This is the most stronger. But if we give the award to the Ukrainian speaker, it will be a political statement, very strong political statement.
It's a political statement. And if I may add, the thing is, some people are critical of the way that Parliament is functioning. You may know, I have before me a complaint from the Russians about a pro-Russian MP in Ukraine who has been jailed and prevented from participating in Parliament because he supports the conflict. And there are a number of other MPs who have been excluded from Parliament because they are not towing the national line. And this worry, I have not moved on this because I did not want it to affect our task force meeting with the Ukrainians in particular. But at some point, I will have to bring it to the attention of the to the Committee of the Human Rights of Parliamentarians. But just to say that some people are going to challenge us and say this is a parliament that, of course, they are working in a difficult context. But are they as democratic as we would want to show? And are they also living up to the values upheld by Kremlin and Pasi? So it's a difficult question, apart from the fact that it would be a highly political statement if we... They were going to get that up.
It will be awful. Then the lady from Mexico is too young. We should give the award to someone that has a long career to the democracy and so on. I understood that she wished to be the next
president of the young parliamentarians.
Forget it. And so forget it as well. Then the Mr. Chaudhry, you have the real problem, not Chaudhry, but the proposal of Chaudhry from other geopolitical groups is not in accordance with our status. If the Asia Pacific group decide to propose Mr. Chaudhry, is completely different. Or if they decide to endorse, if the Asia Pacific Group decide to endorse the proposal of the Euro-Asia Group, is different. We can try to be more flexible. Otherwise, I think we are creating a problem. Because, and this is not against the Europeans, it's more against some countries in Africa or in Asia. Otherwise, why not to propose the leader of opposition in if we decide, we, the 12 plus, decide to propose the leader of the opposition in Myanmar, for instance, because she was elected also member of parliament. If we open the door for that, for future, it's impossible to close the door. And so we rest the gentleman from Bahrain, from the Arab world, and the other one from Gurulak as well.
Yeah, I think there's one from India.
And from India.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be complicated, but let me just ask you this question, a rhetorical question. Do we have to make that award this year? What do you think?
If we failed the first year, I'm afraid that if we don't create a routine.
Yeah, yeah.
If we don't create a routine, it will be difficult to implement it for the future.
Well, it's something that we should be ready to discuss, because somebody might just bring it up and say, do we need to, in light of all the challenges with the various candidates, would it not
because
be?
Because we received nominations.
Yeah.
We received nominations on time.
Yes.
If we don't receive, it's different. We receive nominations on time. If we receive the nominations, we should try to give the award. And otherwise, it means that the board make one evaluation, a negative evaluation of the candidates.
Well, as you and I, we don't vote, so yes. let's see how the discussions go, how they feel about it.
So I will do the call this afternoon, yeah, and tomorrow.
Yeah. Yes,
and we will fix the meeting for the next on the 17th. And okay. If it's possible, if it is necessary, on 24, we will meet again.
Yeah.
And take a decision, because okay, it's important to make the formal presentation on the 1st of June, as we discussed before, our day.
Okay. Very good.
This is all the issues I have to share with you, Martin. I don't know if you have other ones that you need to...
Okay, very quickly, because I need to go into another meeting shortly.
Yes.
We have dealt with many of the issues that I had on my list, too, so that's fine. I saw your response regarding the invitation to Azerbaijan for the non-aligned movement meeting.
It is not possible to attend.
Yes,
is available? I asked Arthur to see if because this way we can try to to give relevance also to our former president and honorable president of IPU. If Mr. Chaudhry is available to attend, and it seems that he is available to... Okay. Because if he is available, it's a, I think that I am not afraid of the shadows. And so the former presidents of IPU, when they are available to represent the, and they are honorable presidents of IPU.
Yes, yes, yes.
And if they still members of parliament,
if they are still members of parliament, yes, that's correct.
I think we should, to be precise,
yes,
is one way that they can represent. What do you think?
I agree. I don't have any problems with that. It's fine, you know. But, and then also members of the executive committee, you know, especially the vice presidents of the
executive president. But, yes. But this meeting will happen on the same day of the executive committee.
That's right.
So, vice presidents will all them in our meeting in Uruguay. And
yes.
So, why not the former president and Mr. Chaudhry?
Okay.
If it's available, I believe it will be a good solution.
Okay, very good. We will then follow up with the Azerbaijan authorities and see how that works. We take it from there. Because they were very keen to have you and me attend, and I told them that you and I were busy in Uruguay. And so we were going to find a solution. I did offer to do a video message for them on my part, and YouTube.
I will record also a video message.
Okay.
And ask Mr. Chaudhry if he's available to attend.
Okay, very good. Then the next thing was there was this invitation from Morocco to host the a world conference on interfaith and inter.
I saw that.
Yes, and they had raised the matter with me, and I had explained to them that this was very sensitive because the meeting was going to take place in Moscow, I think from the 16th to the 23rd of May, but it didn't happen. The Russians, I think they knew at the time that something was going to happen, and they asked to postpone. So technically, that conference is postponed, it would be difficult for us to now hand over the conference to another country, because then it might be interpreted politically. The other challenge is that this particular conference is mandated by a General Assembly resolution asking the IPU to organize a world conference of interfaith and intercultural dialogue in the Russian Federation in cooperation with the United Nations. And so we cannot that conference away without a similar mandate from the General Assembly. But what we can do is maybe we can see with the Moroccans whether we could organize another meeting, a different meeting, without referring to that interfaith and intercultural dialogue conference, something to promote peaceful coexistence, you know, and you know, offer them that possibility to host a meeting if they want to do that sometime next year. Because I don't see this conference in Russia taking place.
No, it will not happen.
It will not happen. But we to avoid unnecessary difficulties for us, we just need to identify with the Moroccans a theme that relates to peaceful coexistence, and we organize a meeting like that instead of trying to offer Morocco as an alternative venue to Russia. It would not go down well with many people. I don't know what you think.
If we decide to organize that in Morocco, again, it will be a political statement.
Yeah.
Because the decision was to organize that in St. Petersburg, in Russia. So
yes.
Only if with the agreement of the Russian Federation, only if they agree, because of the COVID or something similar, they decide that they are not available to host the meeting in 2022, and they don't know when it will be possible to organize. For instance, when we decide to postpone our assemblies in Kigali, it happened with the agreement of the authorities of Rwanda, and we choose other countries to host the assemblies, and we came back to Rwanda after the problem is solved. So I'm thinking just with this background, if the authorities of the Russian Federation agrees that this is not the right time to organize not 23 as well, the meeting, and they agrees, okay. Otherwise, is better to identify other issue coexistence, for instance, between the religions and the political system and countries of the world, is possible to accept the proposal of the Morocco. I agree.
Yes. Yeah, I think we are agreed on that at this particular stage, it's a hot potato, especially so as when I met the chair of the Foreign Affairs Committee in the Senate of Russia in New York in February when we were in New York, he said, Martin, I hope that meeting is still there. It has been postponed. It has not been cancelled.
Okay.
So let's just play the game and find a way of doing something with the Moroccans.
To identify another one.
Yeah, another one. It should maybe not be on the same scale as the one that we were going to do in Moscow or in St. Petersburg, inviting heads of states, heads of religious denominations. We can always find a way of saying this is not exactly what we're going to do in Russia, and we keep that open, you know, whenever they think they are ready. I know after a while it will just fall off our radar screen, but we have done a lot of work in preparation for that conference that would be useful for a conference in Morocco. We have a colleague working as a consultant who has been gathering a lot of information on how different religions, different cultures are cohabiting around the world. Mm-hmm. So the Morocco conference could be a way of using such material to begin to identify what it is that the IPU can come up with models for peaceful coexistence. So we will take up those discussions with them and see what it is.
Identify other issues to the theme of the meeting.
Okay, very good. And then for the agenda of the executive committee, in view of the discussion that you and I have just had regarding Cabo Verde, yes, we can inform the executive committee that this meeting is taking place. And I don't think it is necessary to have it endorsed by the governing council. We will inform them that since it was not something being organized by the IPU, we're just giving our support to it. And it is anything. We can do it that way and not put it on the agenda as a separate item.
Okay, it, Martin.
Yes. We can discuss that under any other business. And
much better.
Okay, very good. Then we have a problem with Turkey, the migration conference.
Mm.
I have had a conversation with Ravza and tried to make things move. Things seem to be working more or less well. But you know that when they proposed this conference, they wanted to get political mileage out of it for domestic purposes too. So they have suddenly come up with the idea that there should be a joint statement from the IPU president and the Speaker of the Parliament at the end of the conference, in addition to the summary that we normally do of the deliberations as the outcome of the conference. And we do think that this is a political minefield for us, because what would happen is, if you are going to make a joint statement, then this is a statement that has to be negotiated with the participants. And we don't have the time to do that. I have suggested that there may be a press conference just after the meeting where you and the speaker could brief the press on the deliberations of the conference, what has come out as the positive development from the conference, without issuing a formal statement, because that becomes an IPU statement. And migration is a big problem. You know that our resolution in New York got stuck because of the issue of migration. So I thought I should discuss this with you before we respond to the text.
Yes, and also UIS is a political matter. To avoid official statement, otherwise it will compromise the members of IPU, and we needed to obtain the consensus on that before to adopt the statement, but also by a logistic problem, because I didn't know that. This is the first time I am to receive the information. And to attend New York, I will not wait at the end of the meeting in Istanbul, because otherwise it will not be possible to be on New York on 21st of June.
Yes. Okay. It's an additional argument, but the speaker may say, okay, why don't we agree on the statement before you leave?
Okay. Now, a press conference, we may work on that.
Yeah, you can work. I think it's better to do a short press conference at some point and just brief the press on what it is
about the objectives of the meeting. What we thinking about the results and so on, but not official statement.
Okay, very good. The next item, I just the youth conference, just to brief that things are going well. I think. I do understand that currently we have some 200 participants. And
how many?
200 participants.
Ah, great.
Yes. And that your speech will be sent in a few days to you. So that's fine. Just so you know that I'm not going to be in Sharm el-Sheikh for the conference, because I have other commitments on those days. I have to travel on the 16th to another commitment. So you'll be there on your own.
I like to be with young people.
Okay, you stay with young people. That's fine. Okay. We have talked about the task force. The Kigali Assembly, too, is fine. We are going ahead. We're issuing the convocation this week, at the end of this week. And things are going well there. I have been invited to the Parliamentary Assembly of the Francophonie that is meeting in Kigali next month.
Okay.
This morning they were insisting. I had thought I would do it online. They were insisting that I come to Kigali to be in person. But I don't know whether.
No, if you are available to go, it's better. This way you will see by your own the facilities and how they organize the meeting.
Yeah, so I will give them an answer by the end of the day today. So it will be an opportunity for me to see, as you say, it is that is being planned for the assembly. Okay, that's all on my list of things to do.
Martin, we need to, because otherwise it will be we will have a problem. We need to fix as soon as possible the executive committee in Kigali.
Okay.
As you remember, I'm trying to see my papers. Yes. Because of the P20, as you remember, we were there. Because they keep the 6 and 7 of October as the meeting of P20. What the Madam Speaker said to Dr. João in Zadua is that it was arranged with Madam Pelosi. And so it is impossible to change. 6 and 7. But we have the meeting of the EXCOM on 8.
Yes.
On Rwanda, in Kigali. So we should leave, and I saw with Emirates that is possible, to leave the 7 of October afternoon, so the P20 is better to finish at lunch, not after lunch, because, and we will arrive on the 8 at 6 a.m. In Kigali.
Yeah.
6 a.m.
Yes.
To begin a meeting at 10, it will be possible, but not easy, physically, to me and you. And 9 and 10. Ah, much better. Arthur said to me that Sharon a text message saying that XCOM will be on 9 and 10. So, much better. So we are not...
Okay.
Because I became afraid, of course, when we need to do the things, we will do it. But physically, if we arrive at 6 a.m. and to begin at work at 10, after a long trip from Indonesia... It will be a nightmare.
You see, Sharon is taking care of your health.
And yours as well. Our
mine as well.
Our
yes. Okay, that's fine. I think we did organize that and taking that into consideration. But let me just ask another question. Do you think Mrs. Pelosi will come if Mrs. Matvienko is going to be there? You know, the Indonesians have invited her. The Russians.
If Indonesia invites Mrs. Matvienko, Pelosi will not come.
She will not come. And I know that Mrs. Pelosi will come. I know that she will be there.
You know?
Yeah. I know that, just anywhere where they can show that they are still very much on the international scene, they will attend. I know that she will not miss that opportunity. Yeah. So...
We will have the two ladies.
Who?
Pelosi and Valienko.
No, the thing is, both have been invited.
Yes.
Both have been invited. But I am not sure that Pelosi will come if Matvienko is going to come. I don't think she'll come.
No, she will not come.
Yeah, and Mrs. Matvienko is going to come. I know
that. Of course.
Yes, she'll come. So we just need to remember that, you know.
And what will be our role on that situation?
So, sorry?
What will be our role and position in this situation?
No, the thing, we're clear, for us, it is clear that, you know, politics of exclusion is not always useful, you know. You and somebody may be in conflict, but there's no reason why you should not come together. Maybe it would be an opportunity for them to come together the first time. You know, the Americans and the Russians coming together following the outbreak of the conflict, like we did with Argentina and the United Kingdom in when they had a conference in London in, I think it was 1989 or so, I can't remember, the centenary conference. So we could turn a challenge into an opportunity to say, well, you know, in the spirit of inclusiveness.
Okay, much yeah. better.
Yeah, let's wait to think about it and see how we turn this into an opportunity for us.
If IPU can be a forum to join for the first time the leaders of Russia and the USA, it will be grateful.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Thank you, Martin.
Sharon, for your cooperation and useful information.
Okay, you take care. Bon appétit.
Bon appétit, Martin. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, Atu.
Bye, Mr. President. Mr. Secretary General, sorry.